In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Moses was chosen by God to set the people free, God's people free from slavery in Egypt. And it was a slavery that they had been enslaved to foreign gods, to a god not their own, to unknown wicked powers. And God used him to give his law to the people once he had set them free through the Exodus when they crossed through the Red Sea. And God gave them that law to set them apart. If you know anyone who is Jewish who actually would follow the Old Testament laws there that they received at that time, you know that their lives are somewhat set apart both from what they eat and what they do from everyone else on earth. There are certain things that Jewish people do that other people do not. And those laws had that purpose, setting them apart, marking them as different, as unique, as God's own people. And so God called them to be apart, to be a holy nation. And that's literally what the word holy means. It means to be set apart. And that's what our God is. When we say he is holy, we mean he is not of this world. He is other. He is set apart from you and me. And so God's holy nation, they are a people set apart from all the peoples of the earth. But under Moses, that people wandered in the wilderness. They languished for 40 years out in the desert. And it was Joshua, the first bearer of the name of our Savior, it was Joshua who brought them into the promised land. And just as he crossed the Jordan in order to bring them into the promised land, so must our Savior also cross the Jordan, go down into its waters, so that he might lead us through the Jordan and into our promised land. So that on the one side of the Jordan, you and I are aimless wanderers with no home, no land to call our own. And on the other side of the Jordan, just like the people of Israel, you and I are home. We're home in a land that takes care of us, a resplendent Garden of Eden which flows with milk and honey. And those historical events of Joshua leading the people through the Jordan into the promised land, those historical events not only saved God's people of old, but God also used them to foreshadow how he would save his people from the time of Christ till this very day that we live in now. And so you and I, of course, we can't go back to Joshua's time, can we? We don't have a time machine to get back there so that you and I can go through the Jordan. We can't cross over the river with him. We can't even go back to the time of Jesus and go with the shepherds to the stable to worship the infant, or with the wise men to Bethlehem to worship the child. We can't go to the foot of the cross and to see Jesus hanging there, because all of those things are lost in the sands of time. But through holy baptism into Christ, through that, you and I are in Christ. And that means we are connected to him. And that connection crosses time. That connection connects you to him in all of those glorious moments of his life. And so in him, you and I can go down into the water with him. In him, you and I can tread the verge of the Jordan and we can cross over to our promised land. And so on one side of holy baptism, you and I are homeless. We are lost. We are wandering, looking for home, looking for rest. And on the other side of our baptism, you and I are home. God is your father. You are his beloved child. You are chosen by him. Because you and I have not chosen God. He chose you. He's the one who set you apart. You can't set yourself apart by your actions. Even though you and I try, right? We try to be good Christian people. We realize that a Christian ought to be in some way different than the people of the world, ought to be in some way kind of noticeably different. We know that. But when we actually look at our lives, are our lives that much different than anyone else, whether they claim to be a Christian or not? Our actions Don't set us apart. We struggle with the same failings, the same sins as everyone in the world does. He chooses you. He sets you apart. And even though you and I make choices every day to live in our baptism or to not live in it, to live as a Christian ought to or not to, you and I have not chosen Him. Instead, He gave you this new identity. He gave you this new home. He gave you His good pleasure toward you. And He's the one who then leads us out of slavery with His law. His law which confronts us and shows us our sin and causes us to turn away from our worship of foreign gods, whether those gods be the gods of self or the gods of family or the gods of wealth and success, the gods of pleasure, or whatever other things that you have in your life that you fear, love, and trust more than the one true God. He turns you away from yourself and your worship of those selfish, self-centered things. He turns you toward Himself, and He leads you into His promised paradise through His Son, that second Joshua. And our Lord didn't need to go down into the water of the Jordan. He didn't need baptism. John the Baptizer wasn't even going to allow Him to do it. It was only at our Lord's command when our Lord said, "Let this pass for now. Distance yourself from it. Just let it happen. Let this thing go on at this moment." That was the only thing that stilled John's protest. Our Lord commanded John so that together these two chosen ones, set apart for this purpose, this second Moses and this second Joshua, should lead God's people out into the wilderness of repentance and through the waters of the Jordan, by which God forms for Himself a people righteous, holy, consecrated, and set apart for His purposes. And our Lord then undergoes baptism by John, not because He needed to repent of any sin, for He was perfect, but rather so that together they might change baptism and make baptism the portal to God's declaration of you, that you are His Son, the Beloved, the one He takes pleasure in, the one that He chooses. And that's the purpose of the baptism of our Lord, to change baptism so that it becomes a life-giving water full of grace and mercy, a water that then God gives you and me this calling from God, where He calls us His Son, God's choosing of you, His election of you as His child, His beloved, His heir of all of His grace and mercy, and all of His goodness. But consider that calling then. It's God's calling from beginning to end. He's the one who calls. He's the one who does not call you because you're wise or because you're smart or because you're a philosopher or have it all figured out, nor because you're morally superior to anyone or because of that strong character that you have or the strength of your body or the strength of your will, or the ability that you think you have to help yourself in any meaningful spiritual way. Nor has He chosen you because of the rank that you hold, the status you have in our society, the importance that you have due to your birth or the family you're born into. I don't know, not too many of us have royal blood, do we? We don't really have much status, do we? I guess the most status you have in North America is, "I'm pretty rich, you need to bow to me," right? I don't know. But God doesn't choose anyone because of such status. Because this God who created all things out of nothing, He takes what is nothing and He makes it something. He chooses, it's His good pleasure to choose that which is nothing. It pleases Him. And to take sinners like you and me who are cut off from God, for He doesn't think of you and I the way the world thinks of us, the way we think of ourselves here in this world. He doesn't look at you and say the things that you and I would say about ourselves or about each other in this world, where we say, "Oh, what a good guy, what a good neighbor, what a man's man, what a kind person, what a good citizen, what a successful bloke, what a beautiful woman." You know, all those kinds of pleasantries that we might say about each other, especially if you meet someone on the street and you get a good feeling about them. He doesn't say those things about us. That's not how God views those things. Even though some of those things might be true on this side of heaven, our Lord cares nothing for them. Those things are merely the abundant overflowing of His grace towards you if they are in fact true of you. And even those things, if they are true of you, are gifts of God from His hand to you. Instead, what our Lord cares about is that you are broken by sin, that you're cut off from Him, that you're utterly helpless to save yourself. And He cares for you in that state. And He calls you by holy baptism to be in Christ your Lord. And He has washed you with water in His Word so that you are in Christ, who is your wisdom, who is His plan of salvation for you, His declared Holy One, who is beloved by Him, who is set apart and chosen by Him to accomplish the righteousness of all mankind. And through Him, and in Him, you and I are also chosen. We are consecrated in Him. We're set apart to be His holy people. We're redeemed. And this means that everything which is true of our Lord Jesus is true of you. Not because it's found in you by your actions, but because it is given to you by your God and Savior. And maybe you've lamented that there was some time in your life, or maybe many times in your life, where you didn't have the right words to say to stop up the mouth of that big mouth person who was tearing down everything that you believed in your presence. Maybe you've lamented, why didn't I have the courage or the wisdom to say that thing, you know, to stick it in their face and shut them up. Maybe you've lamented that you didn't have the right words to say to give voice to the faith that was within you. Well, good news. He has chosen even you. Even though you are foolish and unwise and unskilled of speech, despite those things, He shall use you to shame the wise, to shame the strong, to shame the important of this world. Both in this life, He'll do it, and especially on that last day, He will do it. For whatever faltering words and actions that might escape from you in your life, He uses those things because He chooses you to shame those who trust in themselves. And you and I, of course, may not see that justice, as it were. We might not see it now. We may only see these things in the light of eternity. But be sure, He is using you where you are in your place in life, because this is one of His purposes in calling you. So don't boast in whatever gift that God has given you, whatever abilities or blessings that you have from Him. For no man can boast in the face of God. Instead, boast in your Lord, who was baptized for you so that His righteousness, His consecrated holiness, His redemptive life force would be yours. For in your baptism, He connects you to Himself, and He takes on your sin and your foolishness, your weakness, your moral imperfection, your unimportance, and He gives you His status, His moral perfection, His strength, His wisdom, so that in Him, you and I are the righteousness of God. We are the wisdom of God. We are the chosen of God. We are the works of His hands. We're the apple of His eye and the delight of His heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.